Well, today we're going to continue on our study of the attributes of God concerning our great God and Father. And one of the things that we as believers need to do is declare his praises. And in 1 Peter, it teaches us what we as believers have the privilege and duty to do. What does it say there, 1 Peter 2:5, 2:9?
1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
There it is. It says that you may declare the praises of him. Now, as you've heard me talk extensively about the different kinds of prayer, there is a clear call, you just heard it in the scripture, for us to spend some of our time declaring the praises of God to him. Declaring the praises of God to him. If your spiritual walk does not have this as a discipline, let me beg you to bring it into your life. The place where that should happen, it should be in a prayer closet. And the Bible promises that if you will do this, that God promises to reward you.
Amen.
Okay? And if you remember the story of Mary and Martha, right? What did Jesus say to her? This shall not be taken from her, and it is the only thing that is needed.
Amen.
So if you're going, if you have a desire to obey, then you must take heed to this example and this exhortation from Jesus Christ himself. He said, this is the only thing that's needed. And he rebuked the woman who was worried about this life and said, I'm not going to take it from her. This is important. She's doing what's important. And in any kind of crisis, there's need for leadership. And I can assure you that we must not follow men, but we must follow God.
Amen.
And you cannot be haphazard about choosing your own painted picture of what's acceptable. You have to hear his word like a child. If you don't see that in your life, but you see it in the scripture, then you've got to take action and bring that about in your life.
Amen.
So I'm begging you, if you don't have a prayer closet, get one. A. Now what you do in there cannot be haphazard. And that's what I want you to hear, is that God is not a genie. And he will help you if you ask. But that is not the primary work of a royal priest. Now, whether or not you've heard me talk exhaustively about the office of the royal priest and the importance of it, but the neglect of it is a punishable sin. God has commanded us to walk in the royal priesthood. And if you're not doing the work of declaring the praise to God, declaring his praises intentionally, then we are no doubt in error. It's the sin of omission. So that kind of lays the seriousness of why I'm pressing this. It is not the exclusive reason why I'm pressing this. I'm encouraging us to position ourselves in absolute cooperation. Why? A, because we need God's guidance.
Amen.
And rebellion forbids that.
Amen.
Agreed?
Yes.
We need to hear his voice. And we must take what voice we already have and apply it and respond to it like small children. The verse I'm implying is Matthew 18:3. It says, unless you change and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The issue there is childlike trust with childlike response to command and authority. So when we hear that you've been called to offer an acceptable sacrifice and then shown what that acceptable sacrifice is, it's a heart that is in submission but uses the volition of your will, the attributes of your consciousness, the lips that God has given, that we would abide in his presence. And while you're there in the prayer closet, you do the work of declarating or proclaiming the praises of the eternal God. This, my beloved, is something that is required to abide in his presence. Now, as a priest, we have the exclusive responsibility of ministering to God first, and then everything else is downstream. The need here is that we would position ourselves to be in a place of sincere, earnest, childlike cooperation so that we're not counted in the number of the goats. The Bible talks about sheep and goats. Okay? And we do not want to be counted as goats. So, in this age in which we live, there is a warning of deception. And there's all kinds of doctrines and propagators of false doctrines and spirits in the heavenly realms who want to lead the church away from the main thing, the main one, and his name is the Lord Jesus. So we've got to constantly guide our ship of cooperation so that we're intentionally cooperating under the rule of Christ. You can stay, and in other words, abide. It's the principle of abiding in him. And God says that if you love him, that you will remain in his love. And how do you remain in his love? By abiding in him. By abiding. Now, the word abide, it simply means to rest in. And when you're in cooperation with him and under the rule of Jesus, you can, let's just be frank with each other. You cannot make your own way. You have to be childlike and come under him as a son or a daughter. And you must, if he said declare his praises, it means nothing less. It might mean more, but God never means less than what he said. Agreed? Okay, so let's agree that we all need that FaceTime. You know, all these kids, they're doing these phones and FaceTimes and all this thing with Apple. Let me tell you, you need some Jesus FaceTime. You got to get on your face first and then seek his face. I call it FaceTime. Putting your head in the carpet, your nose, and crying out to the Lord and declaring his praises first. Because we want to be able to have real-time counsel from the Most High. You have the declared will right here in your hands. The declared will of God is here. But the perfect will of God is revealed. Let me say it again. The perfect will of God comes to those who God reveals it. Let me show it to you in the Word. I'm in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. He says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now, a complement to that is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let me show you that there. And then we're going to move over to the attributes of God that we can allow to be on the tip of our tongue. At a moment, you can be doing the dishes and say, "Lord, you are the eternal Holy One, and I praise you that you are high and lifted up and lofty, and your ways are higher than mine. I praise you, Father." What have I just done? I've offered up to God the Father an acceptable praise in the name of his Son. That, my beloved, is what 1 Peter 2:5 and 1 Peter 2:9 is talking about. And what I'm suggesting is that you have a concerted place where that is done intentionally. And so that daily, that you're going into a closet with the exclusive purpose of declaring the praises of God Most High. Okay? So that you're in cooperation with the desire expressed in 1 Peter 2:5 and 1 Peter 2:9. This, my beloved, shows practical submission to God Most High in response to declared will. But the perfect will of God is given to those who offer. Now, offering is definitely a principle of spirit of Christianity. You take the tithe, and then there's an offering. They take offerings for alms. There's offerings given to the orphans, offerings given to widows, and such. But the kind of offering that the Father talks about, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I mean, it's on the lips of all of us. But let me just show you there the importance of this passage. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version because I just got a new Bible. I'm not as fast as I am with my other one because it's worn out. But here, I'm reading out of the New King James in Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you have the declared will right here. But the perfect will of God is revealed to those who offer their body and who obey the command to transform your mind. So here's the second dimension of positioning ourselves so that we're in real-time touch and getting step-by-step, second by second, counsel from God Most High. Offering your body and using your body to declare His praise. Amen. To declare His praise. It's just so simple. It's simple. God wants to hear your praises. And He wants you to carve it out. Carve out non-negotiable time. You all have heard me talk about my sister that I met in Jericho. And she said to me, and, you know, she's a servant. She said, brother, I will serve soul winners with all my heart. But if you ask me to serve soul winners and it takes away from my closet time, the answer is no. In other words, nothing bothers that closet time. You don't reschedule it. You don't move it. Everything circles around FaceTime. What does that show? God is first. God is first. He's got to be first in everything. The supremacy of Him in your life has got to be there. Or lest we deceive ourselves. He wants your best. Non-negotiable. He wants your best. My best. He wants the very best. He wants the first of everything. Okay? And we must honor that desire of our great God and display that with intentionality, with great intentionality. I'm going to name some of the attributes that I suggest to you humbly as your brother that you declare with passion. And it is your declaring truth. It's the prayer of proclamation. Now, you've heard me talk about the different kinds of prayer. You have the prayer of intercession, the prayer of repentance, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of importunity. You have the prayer of proclamation. These are just a few. If you study prayer out, there are many different kinds of prayers. The one prayer that is connected to the priesthood is the prayer of proclamation. So the royal priesthood, if you go into the prayer closet, the first thing you would want to do is kneel down and use your voice and with your spirit and with the agreement through the proclamation of the word. In other words, you're proclaiming to God our Father His praise as revealed in the word. So you're praying the word to God in the form of a spiritual sacrifice of your lips. So it's a sacrifice of praise, okay? So here are some of the things that I would encourage us to make. Maybe make some 3x5 cards. You know, because unless you're just saturated with these scriptures, it's kind of hard to roll them out. Okay? But over years of practice, these words will be naturally embedded in you. And then they can be proclaimed by you in an instant. See, there's going to come a time when this word is going to be likely taken from most true believers. And you and I need to embed this word in our hearts, lest it go away. Because you take the word out of a nation, it will crumble. Because God is no longer sought in truth. And then everyone's kind of on his own. So it's critical that while we have time, that we spend our time digesting His Word. The consequence of this principle is that your mind would be transformed. That the things that you used to practice as the natural mode of operation in your life, the things that are unacceptable will leave you. Because the Word is a double-edged sword going into the bone and the marrow of the Spirit, and what is not of God, the Word will cut out of you. It will leave you if you will allow the surgeon to do the surgery with the sword of His Word. This, my beloved, is the secondary principle of positioning yourself to hear His voice. He said, be holy. You cannot be on the fence. Satan owns the fence. You cannot be lukewarm. Lukewarm guarantees revelation, the promise of revelation. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth.
Amen.
See, in other words, God's not willing to take lukewarm. Amen. You're already out if you're lukewarm. You're out of His will. So He wants your very best, and He wants your passionate offerings of your lips. That is the acceptable way. This offering of passion, of commitment, Him being first, positions us to get the revelation, the perfect will. Okay? Declared will in your hand. If you can read the Bible, you've got the declared will, but the perfect will in regards to your life, individually. We're all different. We're all flying on different planes. Right? One has a gift in this area, another gift in that area. But there are universals that God has established that everyone must participate in. Okay? And we want to make sure that we're cooperating with the universals, that we're bathing ourselves with the Word, and that we're submitting ourselves to His desires. He wants to hear His praise from His people.
Amen.
Let me make it plain. And so one of the eternal attributes of our eternal Holy Father is that He is eternal. And let me just announce some of the characteristics of His great being. Now, when you think about God, you can't use a measuring stick. There's no measuring stick that can measure God, right? He is unique. And Jesus declared how powerful He is. Now turn your Bibles with me to St. John chapter 14, verse 28. And we're going to look at the greatness of our great God, our Father. In St. John chapter 14, verse 28, it reads like this. This is in red print in my Bible. It says here, now, the reason I'm reading this is because Jesus declared this about God the Father. And I want you to embrace this. This is not a doctrine that most people even think about. But I want you to know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the Bible says. We have one God, but God is triune. And inside the Holy Godhead, Jesus acknowledges His submission to His Father and our Father. Can we agree that God is our Father? And can we agree that Jesus called Him Father? Amen? Let's read what Jesus had to say about our Father. He says, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. God, our Father, is acknowledged in Scripture as being omnipresent, omnipotent, and all, and what's the other one? Omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Those three characters. And announcing that to Him is definitely something that even Jesus said when His disciples recognized that, He looked to them and said, now I see that you believe. So is one of the songs that Hannah played today was intentional. This song declared the creed, right? Those truths that you heard in that song, each one of them would be something that would be an acceptable declaration in the priestly prayer of a prayer of proclamation. Okay? So declaring, God, you are great above all. Above all. And I want to show you that what I just proclaimed was the Word. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, and let's see what the Word says about the greatness of our eternal God and Father. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, let's read there. It says here in the sixth verse in Ephesians chapter 4, I need a little water. It says, I just quoted it to you, but let me just read down from 4:1 down. We're going to land on 6. It says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. See, saints, each one of us has been called. Your first call was a universal call. Your first call was repent. That was the universal call from heaven to you. Your second call was believe. Well, let me back up. Your second call was hear. Hear what? Hear the glorious gospel of your salvation. So he is calling us to repent from unbelief. He's calling us to hear the truth and to believe the truth. And then he's calling us to use your calling for the glory of God. But here in this passage, he's calling us to walk worthy. To walk worthy. In other words, if you're not abiding in the royal priesthood and you're not walking in it, then you need to go in that path. You need to walk in the royal priesthood. It says here, he says, calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. And here's why I was getting into it. Here, from 4 to 6, this could be something you would record on a 3x5 card and put it to remembrance so that when you kneel down, you utter this glorious truth to our great God and King. Here it is. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There it is, right there. The triunity, the greatness of our great God and his divine authority over all things seen, over all things unseen, over everything created and everything that is above your eyesight and beyond your ears and beyond your sense of ability to discern. God is all in all and above all. Amen. What have you done? If you declare that to him, you have walked in the royal priesthood. My brothers and sisters, you were created for this purpose. Your lips were given to you so that you could declare his praises. Your strength is given to you so you could declare his praises. You are called into the closet. This is a call. I'm telling you, you're hearing me call from heaven. God is calling you from Scripture. He's calling you to FaceTime. It's FaceTime, church. FaceTime. You've got to get on your knees so that you're not deceived. You've got to get on your knees so that you would receive strength for what you're about to see. Because God promised that men's hearts would fail them because of what they see coming upon the land. Be warned, there's a trouble coming. That's going to cause your heart to fail. You've got to get in the prayer closet and get in there now. Because God is telling you, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. There's a promise in the Word that says, I will shake everything. He's going to shake. And only the things that are unseen will remain.
Amen.
The only things that are going to remain are what are in Christ. Everything that's outside is not going to remain.
Amen.
We have to understand clear call. The call to abide in him. There's a call. A call. Walk worthy of the call that you have received. So here, understanding that God is not just hard. He's not harsh. In fact, he's gentle. We've declared that he's above all. We've declared that he's eternal. We've declared that he's sovereign. We've come to understand that he's the eternal creator. That he's everywhere at all times, that he's in the believer, that he's above the universe, that he's in the church, that he's in every nation, and that he's able to understand even the thoughts of your words before they're spoken. He's great. Would you agree that our God is great beyond our ability to understand? He's great. Yes? But I want to show you that this eternal God, who is above all and in all and who loves all, is willing to even bend down and to take you where you're not able to take yourself. See, that's what I want you to hear today, is that we are cold, church. We are cold. We are cold. There's places that we can go that you will be able to discern his voice. You will hear him say, there's a still small voice that will say no. My friend Lawrence, when he was about to go stand on the stage with Governor Huckabee, clear invitation, set calendar, he was not able to sleep, he told me. He goes, brother, I couldn't eat. I was up in my house walking at night. And he said, I finally got on my knees and said, what is it, Lord? Why are you troubling me? The Lord made it known to him. I don't know how. Stopped him from being on a platform where the whole nation would have seen him. And send him on a mission to do the work of intercession. Amen. That is an example of someone who is close to God. Amen. See, if the Lord is not troubling you, you got to ask questions. You want him to trouble you. You want him to trouble you with your sin. You want him to show you your blind spots. Please hear me. We need God to trouble us, so that he can remove surgically the things that are holding us back. But I want you to know that God is married to the backslider. That he will not leave you where you're at.
Amen. Come on now.
If you're in Christ and you are in rebellion, or if you're nominal, or if you consider yourself lukewarm, I want you to know the Lord is simply not going to leave you there. And you can expect him to trouble you. In Isaiah chapter 57, beginning in verse 15, going on down to verse 21. See, because he's a father. He's a father. See, when I see my kids headed down the wrong path, let's say they're about to take a stumble down some stairs. Hey, I don't send them an email. No, I get in front of them before they fall and yell at the top of my lungs. And that's what I want you to hear today. The church has got to wake up to the eternal. Wake up to the calling. Wake up to the reality that we are about to meet God face to face. We could very well be the generation that he rolls back the skies and says, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. And the thing that really troubles me is this Iran nuclear deal. I am terrified of this, because if America comes under the will of, under the function of cursing Israel, we're done. We are done. We can't, America can't sustain the Genesis 12:3 curse. No, no nation can stand it. God says, I bless those that bless Israel, and I curse those that curse Israel. And that Iran nuclear deal could very well be the thing that walks us into the Genesis 12:3 curse. I am praying like anything against that. I pray it doesn't happen. I pray that our treasuries are not a part of building nuclear bombs that are launched against the holy places. God forbid. God forbid. Saints, we got to take this serious. This calls the church. This is serious. Our grandchildren need us in the closets. You've got to get a closet and spend time there. I'm begging. I want my kids to live in the America that I knew. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm willing to fight for it.
Amen.
I'm willing to fight for it. And I want you to know God is willing to fight for us.
Amen.
He will stand and fight for us. In Isaiah chapter 57, I want you to hear his heart. Again, in verse 15, pointing to his eternal nature, in his abundance of power. And the catch here that I want you to see, that even though he's great and he's beyond our imagination, he's the invisible God. He's creator. He's savior. He's redeemer. He's the one who loves you beyond your ability to understand. Let me encourage you, if you're not able to appreciate his love, go face first into a prayer closet and tell him, God, I'm just not able to feel it. I don't understand it. I need to understand your love for me. Invite him to show you his love and invite him to show you his care for you. He will. And let me show you his heart here. It says here in Isaiah 57:15, it says, For thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity. Oh, give him praise. Did you hear what it said? He inhabits eternity. In other words, there is no beginning nor end to God our Father. He is great. It says, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Did you catch that? We've talked about the need. Catch this. We need his presence. We need to experience his presence. We need to be able to benefit from being able to discern his presence and to hear from him. Let me tell you something. He's not far from you. If you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. And the last time I checked, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, he is near you.
Amen.
Even in you. You must acknowledge that. You must acknowledge that. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, sir. Come on now. If you walked into my house and didn't greet me, that would not be good for you. Would you agree?
No.
Okay. It says here in this word, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Do you hear what he said? It's not that he's going to come down where you are. If you will be repentant, which is another word for contrite, and humble yourself, God's going to permit you to be where he is.
Amen.
Catch that. It's not him bending down to you. It's him allowing you to come nigh. He is with the repentant. He is with the humble. His presence will go before you. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Catch it. Here it is. Married to the backslider. He will not leave you where you're at. It's a promise. To revive the spirit of the humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The repentant ones. For I will not contend forever. Nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fail before me. And the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways. Look at God. He didn't say he's going to abandon him. He says, I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him. And to his mourners.
Amen.
He says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. But God promises this. He said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The message is this. We serve the eternal creator, the creator of heaven and earth. And he is calling you into a prayer closet. And it's not for his sake. He's trying to prepare your hearts to be brave. He wants to position you so that you're not looking for anything in times of trouble, but that you're standing in a quiet confidence in Him. You cannot be led in confusion. You cannot be led in torrents of fear. You cannot be led when you're not able to discern your way. This is a time when we must ready ourselves. We must ready ourselves and allow His presence and invite His word and invite His correction. Let me tell you something. We need to be that serious with God. Invite Him to correct you.
Amen.
Invite Him to reorder your life.
Amen.
Invite Him to put that pressure, that thumb of God on the areas where you need it. Because if you're tolerating it, if you're tolerating something you know in your life that He does not want, you are in deception. And that is exactly what Jesus warned when His disciples said, "What would be the sign of your coming?" He did not respond in the natural. He said, "Let no man deceive you." Now look at the guy in the mirror and say, "Are you deceiving me?" Look at your heart and say, "Are you deceiving me?" Look at your flesh and say, "Are you deceiving me?" These are the areas that we must discern whether or not we are walking worthy of the calling that we have received.
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. If you are, if the Holy Spirit's abiding in you, you're going to have to give an account.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to give an account.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has made us right with God. But we want to enter those gates with expectation of reward, of abiding in His eternal joy. But God wants to give you eternal joy right now. He wants your joy to be complete. He wants your hearts to be filled with confidence, not fear. So be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be brave. But I can assure you, it's not something you can rot. It's not something you can get off a shelf. It has got to be downloaded into you. That's what I'm begging for, is that you will take to heart, get yourself a prayer closet, sanctify it. Let nothing happen in there except prayer, that God would, you would be able to hear His voice, and He would show you, stop doing that. Push this out of your life. Invite this in. And these are the things that will position us to be steadfast, to remain in Him, that when trouble comes, we're in no way going to be led astray. Thanks for letting me share.